listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hey, good evening. It is Monday night, October 20th, 2014. You're listening to the audio chat, the live chat on fakeologist.com. I don't have too much to talk about tonight. I just thought I'd come on and say hi to everyone that's listening live. We do have people that hang out on the channel and listen. Welcome, welcome. If you are interested in having a quick chat, I'm available for 20 minutes or so, and you can come on over and chat about the day's events. Interested in having a chat on audio chat, you have to go to audiochat.fakeologist.com, and when you go there, you'll see downloads for TeamSpeak. Speak is the program that we do use to conduct audio chat. You can download it for your PC compatible, your Macintosh, your Apple iPhone, or your Android device. There is a TeamSpeak application for all of them. And quite simply, just download the software and then set it up. Pretty easy to set up. There is a TeamSpeak server that is on fakeologist.dz10s.net. And then you pick any username you want. And that's pretty much all you have to do to connect. Very simple. And then come into the lobby. We can chat in the lobby. And then if I recognize you or you identify yourself, we'll come over into the live stream and we can chat where it is recorded and broadcast live at s3.fakeologist.com. I'm going to bring up one post that made a post on fakeologist.com today. And it's a suspicious story. Now, I live in the Toronto area, so I usually comb the Toronto papers just because they're more interesting, because I'm familiar with the places and the areas and some of the characters that are in the media all the time. It's natural to be more interested in something that could be closer to home. So there was a story today in the Toronto Star, star.com, which is the biggest paper in Toronto. At least it used to be. I don't know really who reads any of these things anymore. I don't even know how they count circulation. I think it's all suspicious now because nobody under, I'm going to say 45, probably engages or uses the Dead Tree edition of newspapers. The rest are probably online, but there's just so much variety. And just, well, I shouldn't even say variety. There's so many different websites out there to choose from. You can tailor make all your news and how it's presented to you. So it's doubtful that these electronic editions of the newspapers have any kind of readership at all, which is too bad because theoretically that would discourage local reporting because they wouldn't be able to afford to pay for local reporters. So then they rely on news services, which are highly centralized and highly controlled, and you're never going to get any on-the-ground, real-type reporting, which is sad. So then it's going to be even harder to figure out what's going on. There was an article today that said that a body was found on the Toronto shoreline on Saturday morning at about 7:40 a.m. Now, nothing too suspicious about that, other than the fact that at the time that I read the article, there were no names being released. There was hardly any details about the body, but the two details that struck me that were there were numerological, and of course, I do like to evaluate some of the numbers because they are code for fakery or nonsensory or psyopery. So the one number was the time, 7:40, and as we can easily see, that adds up to 11. And the other strange little bit was a description of the body. And in this case, it was indicating the height of the body. And they said that the body was between 5'9 and 5'11. Now, to the average reader, that wouldn't make any impression on them, but of course, for me, I'm always looking for 9s and 11s and 33s and all the magic numbers that make up the occult symbolism that they use as code to describe psyops or fake stories or hoaxes. Now imagine the description. The body was between 5'9 and 5'11. Well, wouldn't that make it 5'10 then? Isn't that pretty much the way you would describe it? It was around 5'10. Why would you indicate both 5'9 and 5'11? That's stupid. Especially since, well, you have the body. I suppose if you really had to describe the height of the body, not that that's terribly relevant, but wouldn't you just stretch it out and take a tape measure and actually measure it? Why would you be approximating? You would easily be able to determine the exact height of the body. So that is another clue that this is probably a completely fake story. Now, what is the purpose of this fake story? Because it seems so innocuous. It's so minor. It's so tiny in the big picture. How does it relate to 9/11? Well, it relates to 9/11 because 9/11 was the biggest club, the biggest indicator, the biggest exposition of media fakery. It was the hallmark. It was the marquee. It was the biggest fake event. Now, fake being a creation, a Hollywood creation, complete with live, real people used as props. Now, I'm not talking about the people that allegedly died, no. I'm pretty convinced, thanks to the VixSim report from Clues Forum, that that was a fake of, those were a fake group of people. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Paul Floyd and Simon Shack have really made that clear to me. And ongoing research by Critical Mass, Cobra Commander, they're all looking into the voices of September 11th, which is the catalog, the memorial of all the entities that allegedly died on 9/11, and they're making it clear that this is nothing but software creation of individual entities. But anyway, getting back to this local story, so because now we have proof, in my mind, that the media was completely complicit in the creation of big events, there's no reason to doubt that they do small events too. They would be very easy to do because no one's really paying attention. So this small event would be there to simply line your subconscious with stories of fear. And you don't even know you're registering it because when it goes into your subconscious, you just accept it and it goes down there. You don't think about it too much. Your conscious doesn't deal with it too much. But it is another layer of fear that goes into your subconscious. I am convinced of it. It's like Operation Gladio, which the Italian government or people saying they're within the government created constant fear within the population by constantly telling about stories of terrorism in Italy. And it just got everyone, the population, on edge, and it created an atmosphere where they could plant a reaction to within the population the idea that we needed the government or they needed their government to bring in harsher laws, more martial law type laws to solve this problem that was created by those that spooked the government. So those members of the predatory ruling class that occupy nexus points, actual points where they can affect change within legitimate government or police organizations. So that goes on, I would say, on a small scale, even in small areas or pockets or all over North America, including Toronto. Toronto is a big city. It's not immune to any of the worldwide psyop techniques. So I think even on this local level, east of Toronto, we have a case where they create stories, missing persons, people that end up dead, mysterious deaths, and they pepper them all over the place. They're random. They are at different times, but they're constantly inserted into the news. And this story, I'm afraid, I'm just guessing. If it's real, I'm sad that someone could have been killed. But the way this is portrayed, it really fits the mold of being a fake story. I'm sorry. It just does. I made a post about that. And again, it's just to pile on into your subconscious the idea that there are bad people, bad things happen, and we need solutions. Now, the easiest solution is just to hire more police to investigate these things and to patrol these areas. And it just so happens we're having a municipal election in the Toronto area in the next few weeks. So my thought is that because the biggest line item, the biggest department in all municipalities in the Toronto area is the police, they have the most to lose with those that want to cut the budget or maintain the budget and therefore control costs and control taxes. So any candidates that have the idea that they want to maintain taxes or lower taxes, there's really only one department that they could touch to make a big difference, and that would be the police department. So it's in the police department, or those that represent the police services, to maintain a fear level so people demand police protection, because that's their only real tangible way to fight crime. So if stories suddenly become more prevalent that indicate a need for police service, then that is what they will do. And those are the stories you will find. Now, it could all be just a coincidence, but I do not think so, because we know the media is the central organ for manipulating and moving people. There is no doubt, little doubt rather, in my mind, that stories like this that don't really add up, that use occult numerology, that don't have really any real names or real descriptions, that just create a general malaise, a general tension, they're used to create an atmosphere that is conducive to whatever their people that orchestrate these events, whoever they are. They just put these items in the news, in the media, to create an atmosphere conducive to what they want to happen. So if they want candidates voted in to municipal office that can actually affect a budget, and in this case, protect the biggest line item, the biggest department in the municipal budget, which is the police, then they're going to keep these stories alive. So any voter that actually wastes their time to go vote is going to think twice. They're going to have these thoughts, these stories, if they're plugged into the media, and they're going to stick to the candidates that have no intention of cutting a budget or even maintaining that inflation a budget with regards to the police. Preferably even increase the police budget, hire more police to help ameliorate these situations of crime and death and destruction. So I think that is the purpose of this particular item. Now, of course, it could be real. There has to be, one would think, some reality to some stories of death and destruction. But this particular story just didn't add up in my mind. And with a few occult numerology numbers, it just struck me as a potential candidate for what I described as the strategy of tension, an Operation Gladio on a local level in the Toronto area. That is one post that I created tonight, October 20th, 2014. You can look it up by date as soon as I reinsert a calendar widget on the blog, fakeologist.com. You'll be able to look up by date as well. But otherwise, just scan through the post, do a search for... you can do a search. I believe I titled it A Missing White Guy, because I just found it amusing that with this very vague description of the person, it says the police are looking for the public's help in identifying this person, which to me is totally ridiculous. But I don't think the police necessarily have anything to do with it. I think there are PSYOP contacts within all police departments, and I would have to guess that just the very tippy top brass would be aware of these hoaxes, because it's of course in their best interest to maintain a large service. And then they would have a couple key people in the forces to channel and handle any actual inquiries, if there are any real inquiries into these stories. But I'll bet a large percent of these stories are never even questioned by one single person in the public. And if there is a random inquiry, there is somebody who's actually questioning some of these stories, they are probably handled with ease by specially trained operatives who know how to deal with the public. And the easiest thing to do would just be to railroad them into voicemail, into "we'll get back to you," and then create phony cover stories that can never possibly be verified. And they're probably handled in a very simple way according to a PSYOP type manual. All these questions are probably easily answered and easily handled all the same way across the land, across the world. I don't think any one police force has their own way of doing things. I think everything is carefully thought out and planned. And I think it also extends to fire departments too. And perhaps even ambulance service or paramedic services, although they may not be as large or powerful organizations in the different municipalities. But I think the biggies are the police forces, because they are based on military operations, the police force. So there's really no questioning of superiors. You are completely compartmentalized. So you really have no idea what's going on around you outside your very small department. There'd be no problem controlling access to information, including these PSYOP stories. I guarantee you that 99% of the police force would have no idea what's going on with specific cases. Now, they may have a general idea through rumors and nudge, nudge, wink, wink, late night drinking parties, associations about the whole concept of PSYOPs and how they're instrumental in maintaining operations. But I doubt they would be able to answer any specific questions about any specific case. They might know some of the operatives within police force that are used to accommodate these PSYOPs. But again, I doubt that those people would be in a situation where they would be able to reveal the mechanics of how these PSYOPs are carried out within these organizations. I just think these are well planned and very secretive operations. So I encourage you to look into local stories that are of interest to you, and you might be amazed at the quantity and lack of quality in some of the stories around you. There's one story that always bothered me in the Toronto area that occurred in the 80s, and a little girl named Nicole Moran, 9-year-old, I believe, maybe that's a clue, went missing from her apartment. She went alone from her apartment somewhere, maybe to the corner store, and she never came back. And it's still not resolved to this day. And somebody was arrested and wrongly accused and got out of jail. And then they did many different media investigative type journalistic stories. The media went into it and exposed who may have really done it. It became a real whodunit in the Toronto area. And only recently, within the last month, this story was revived. Allegedly, there was a clue somewhere outside of the Toronto area that the police were following up on. And the usual stories about cadaver dogs. Really, nothing came of the story, but I just thought it was interesting that the story got revived out of nowhere. Years later, it just went back on the front page. And you wonder, well, what is the purpose? Well, it could be, if the entire story is fake from the get-go, from the 80s, and of course all these hoaxes have been done since the beginning of time, then this would be a good time to revive it. Again, to create a strategy of tension, get people thinking about police and maintaining budgets. It's quite possible that they just roll this story out every few years whenever there's a time when the police are being looked at critically or the budget, to create an awareness that we need police to investigate crime. It's quite possible this story is completely fake as well. I haven't had time to look into it, probably won't, but it makes one wonder. And when we're investigating 9/11 and all the fake events around it, we have to look at every single story suspiciously and look for clues of PSYOPs and hoaxes. It's just mandatory that we do that, because we know we were fooled in a big way on 9/11 and continue to be fooled to this day, along with the rest of the population. Now, I bring up the Nicole Moran story because I think I was listening or looking, and I think there were similar stories of missing children that made big, big national media attention in other countries. And I'm thinking there may have been a story in Australia where a story was revived that they were looking into a missing child story from the 80s. And I think this was in Australia. Now, if I get a chance, I'm going to look this up. Maybe any of my Australian listeners can look it up too. For some reason, I think I heard in the last few weeks, a missing child story from the 80s was revived in Australia. And the only reason I'm interested in this is it could be a completely similar or parallel story happening in another country. And now that we have the power of the internet, and the power of different people researching all around the world, coalescing at fakeologist.com, maybe we can compare notes between the Nicole Moran story and similar stories in other countries and see if they follow a pattern and see if the follow-up stories years later are similar, because there's no doubt that they use templates to create stories, because the best stories have to be recycled, revived, and reused. So please, whatever country you're looking into the psyops and hoaxes from, please come to the table, register at fakeologist.com, and put your information forward. And let's see if we can see parallels. Because I'm not going to be hearing or following any stories in other countries that are this small, but you might if you are interested in your own local media. And maybe there are master templates that are shared by the intelligence services that run these psyops that infiltrate your local police forces to carry out these hoaxes, because they don't really need the cooperation of too many people in every organization. Really, they don't. They can just spoof away saying they're from the police force, they're from the hospital, they're from this organization. They don't need to have someone on the inside saying this. They can invent spokespeople because they control the message. They control the media. Now, the real spokesperson of these organizations may be told of what's going on in the sense that they might not be aware of the story, so let this person handle it. This is a new person or a special agent that is going to be reporting on this story. There could be any way to handle that. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how it works. But the point is that these organizations that are being spoofed to be saying that they're saying these things, they might not have anyone who knows what's going on for real. There, of course, they're real persons in these organizations, but they just might not have a clue about certain civic psyop type stories, because the people that orchestrate these stories and report on these stories may be simply fictitious, or they may be special operations people that are allegedly working there, but really they're not. There's a lot of ways to do it. And when you control the media and the outlets that publicize these hoaxes, you don't have to worry about actual people in the organization speaking out, because they won't have a place to voice their concerns. And the person at the very tippy top, I'm sure, has been spoken to or is aware. You really only need one or two people in every organization that really knows what's going on. And they're not going to say a damn thing because they value their high position and high payroll. So they're not going to spill the beans at all, even if they are a member of a very, very large organization. So that helps to answer the question. There would have to be so many people that know what's going on. Answer, absolutely not. That's not true at all. There really wouldn't have to be that many people that know what is going on, even if it's part of an organization that's massive.
Hi, I'm Paul. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.